The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody. We are back. UFC Vegas 18 has come to an end, and it ended with two violent and ferocious knockouts by Corey Sandhagen. And as you just saw, from Alexander Volkov, who finishes Alistair Overeem, Corey Sandhagen. If that's not the knockout of the year at the end of 2021, then we are in for something special in this calendar year. But thanks for joining us. Hope you guys enjoyed the card. We're going to talk about it with all of you guys. So get your questions, your thoughts about the card in the chat, and we will address them momentarily. I am Mike Heck, being joined by Jose Youngs. What'd you think of Volkov's tattoo? That thing is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not my style of tattoos. Obviously, as everyone knows, I like all like the minimalistic, like stickery tattoos that just kind of randomly splotch their place on my arms. But my God, that is, it's just like well done. So 10 out of 10 execution, but it's not my style, but I got to show respect. I don't know who the artist is. If someone knows, tell me, because I'd love to follow them on Instagram because that's some good stuff.
And we're also being joined by the executive producer extraordinaire and Eminem's biggest fan, E. Casey Lydon. How you doing, buddy?
Moving on. Wait, was that Dana White in the video? Because I was kind of watching like this and like, was that Dana? Or was that a fake Dana in the video?
I think that was a fake. I mean, there was the real Dana on the SportsCenter part, but I think like during the fight scenes, like the press conference part, I think that's fake. I think that was a fake Dana.
Oh, okay. Because he was wearing a mask. I was like,
right.
I was like, how did he get
that?
Dana
should tell you everything.
Yeah, it's like, this isn't real. This is Hollywood show business. Oh, God. Okay. Let's talk about men getting their faces bashed in and not that Eminem thing.
All right. Well, let's start with Alexander Volkov while the questions and the comments start to roll in. Jose, Alexander Volkov, since that Curtis Blaydes fight, it's a new man. Massive. And I remember when he weighed in for the Walt Harris fight and he weighed in at like 265 or 266, like right at the heavyweight limit. And I was like, oh, boy. Normally when he weighs that much, that means he's like out of shape. He's not taking things seriously. And then he lit Walt Harris up like a Christmas tree, especially to the body. And then he delivers a phenomenal performance. I mean, every strike he landed tonight was devastating to Alistair Overeem. What did you think of Volkov's performance tonight?
I don't know if he's a new man or like he's all this improved and everything, because let's not forget, he was 10 seconds away from beating Derek Lewis. And then he just got dominated by Curtis Blaydes. So if he isn't a fool and lets Derek Lewis punch him a bunch of times with like 30 seconds to go, he has one loss in the UFC, which would, what would his record be like? 6-1, 7-1, and now it's like what, 6-2 or something like that? And he's only lost to Derek Lewis and Curtis Blaydes. Derek Lewis can knock any human, anything that walks out. And then Curtis Blaydes, it is what it is. So Walt Harris is also a phenomenal fighter, but Overeem just demolished him too. So I think this Volkov is what we all knew, because like, who else did he lose to? Shek Congo, like back in the Bellator days, and then he like rattled off all those impressive wins in M1 and the UFC. So I just think fans, it's more of a recency bias. They saw him get dominated by Blaydes and then dominate Harris, but I think this is the Volkov we've seen, and I think he's a big factor that played is he didn't have to worry about getting taken down, because he knows Overeem's probably going to stand and strike with him. And like Casey said in the preview show, and I tweeted it, it looked like Alistair Overeem did a lot of sparring with giant gloves, because he would hold his hands up here and Volkov would just be like, there's an opening, and he would just like light him up, even though Overeem's hands were up, because he doesn't have all that extra padding from his kickboxing sparring or whatever he was doing. So yeah, awesome forms from Volkov. What is, I don't know, how many knockouts does he have career as AK joins us, like 20 something? So yeah, phenomenal performance, phenomenal.
I feel like his confidence just continues to rise. Like he's just more comfortable in that octagon every time we see him. And I think that's pretty cliche to think thing to say, because I think everybody, as you get in there, you get more confident. But I mean, when you're trading shots with these heavyweights with massive power, I mean, it's pretty cool. AK, how are you, buddy? What did you think of Volkov's performance?
Are we not on the eulogizing Frankie Edgar part of the
y'all
part
are
of the
weird.
Show yet?
Anyone can win.
Yes, anyone can win, Jose. Guess what? Not anyone can get hit by a knee so hard that they probably weren't moving for at least like a full minute, and probably didn't recover until the commercial break. Gentlemen, don't let me sidetrack whatever conversation you were having about the main event, Volkov Overeem or whatever. Whenever you get to Edgar saying such, let me know. I'm just grieving over here. That was it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch. I'm an Edgar fan. I'm a fan. I just wanted to come on so I wouldn't be alone. Just wanted to be here with the people that I love the most, help me get through this difficult time.
Man, just sunk this thing into to a downer place, man.
How's everyone doing tonight?
That's fine. Casey. I am an unbiased watcher.
Casey, what did you think of Volkov's performance? You did pick him, so you come out smelling like roses after losing like 5 or 6 picks in a row.
Yeah, I did. You know, as much as I want to give Volkov, I knew he's an elite heavyweight. I knew he's super dangerous. I knew like everything Jose said. He's 9 out of 10 times he beats Derek Lewis. Yeah, he lost to Curtis Blaydes. He got him. And if that Curtis Blaydes fight was in the big octagon, who knows? But it happened. But Overeem, man, he finally looked his age, I guess. Like his body didn't look quite the same. I mean, everyone makes the comparisons to Overeem 10 years ago, but we're kind of past that. But even it's just everything just seemed off. My feeling is it was the Eminem video right before he's about to come out. They go, hey, UFC staff goes, hey, Overeem, check out this video. And, like, it just never ends. And you just had to watch the Eminem video, and he just never got his head on straight. And maybe with Volkov, since there was, like, a language barrier, he just didn't know what he was watching, so he was fine. So that's my only explanation for the very, very just sad performance from Overeem and great performance
Eminem
from
curse.
Volkov.
Eminem curse. Yeah. It wasn't even his fault. It wasn't even his fault, right? Man. We joke about the Eminem crowd. He didn't even walk out to Eminem. Eminem was thrust upon him.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, AK, since you're kind of in a downer spot.
Get my mind off of that. Whatever happened in the coming event, please make
me
work.
We are awaiting the announcements of the bonuses.
This one's gonna be easy.
So let me ask you, AK. Did young Odey Osborne get the Ike Villanueva? Do you think he gets the Ike Villanueva treatment, where he doesn't get a bonus after those finishes, or you think he definitely gets
one? Well, maybe they won't. They should give a fight of the night, though. They should give a fight of the night. Yeah. There were some good. There was at least two. I think both lightweight fights were awesome. So, probably. So I hope Odey doesn't get, because Odey was spectacular. I think maybe, because it has to be Odey, Volkov, Odey Sanhagen. Mike, why did you make me think about this? I thought we were trying to get my mind off this. It should be Odey, Sanhagen, and either Johnson Guida or Dariush Diego.
What? You put Johnson Guida over?
There's gonna be, I like no, that fight. There's not gonna be a fight of the night.
Oh, really?
There's gonna be no fight of the night.
For Dariush was phenomenal.
It was really good.
That was high level MMA.
It was great. I really enjoyed Johnson Guida too.
You really?
Yeah.
That was a fun fight.
It was a fight. It was like cool. It's a fight.
In fairness, it's probably surpassed. Obviously, Dariush and Fajeda lived up to my very high expectations, and I think I had low expectations for Johnson. Like, it'd be cool to watch because they're both good veterans. But I think it was the entertainment surprised me. So maybe that's why I'm giving a little more credit to Guida and Johnson. But yeah, Fajeda and Dariush, great. We thought it was really great, and it was great. The first round was friggin' awesome. It was a great fight all the way through. Yeah, but they could go for. But Jose, you think they'll just go for performance bonuses?
I do, or three or whatever. So they don't always have to give out an exact amount every time. I do. I feel like this is one of those ones that we all think there's an awesome fight, and as I always say, like, I'm not picking things based on what I believe, just based on the data that the UFC has shown. They tend to skip a lot of fight of the nights and stuff like that.
So Devontae Smith might be the one left out here, since I mean he got a finish, but it was like
it was doctor.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. But yeah, I also, you know, the none of the fights were the fights were the two lightweight fights were time where they weren't like slobber knockers. Like, I think he's right. It's obvious super high level stuff. The first round of Fajeda Dariush was absolutely just nonstop action. And then, you know, and then I think you appreciate more of the technical side of stuff in the last two rounds. Though, again, they also kept a pretty high pace even as it went on. But yeah, they're not necessarily the slobber knockers that, you know, Dana White and whoever it is that decides bonuses love. So yeah, I could see the four bonuses instead. I do hope Ode gets one, regardless of whether it's four performances or two performances.
I would also like to add, Casey, to your M&M theory, that our good friend might, well, I'm not sure if you're aware of who this individual is. I know Mike does. Our good friend Jay Petrie over on Sure Dog has a running list of walkouts of M&M people and how they have done, and they have won 45% of their fights. So not as big of a difference as you think. So it's the there's a couple no contests overturns. Like Anderson Silva always walks out. Like, I think someone walked out to M&M once and eventually became a no contest and stuff like that. But they win 45% of their fights. So shout out to our friend Jay over at Sure Dog, who has a running list.
So 55% then lose themselves.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
Mom spaghetti.
See, you know that's spaghetti. A bad joke when AK says, good job.
Yeah. Get it?
That's a dad joke.
And the list, and for those wondering, the list dates back to UFC 51, which is when Tito Ortiz walked out to the song Mosh, which is an awful song. And then it goes all the way up to Billy Quarantillo walked out to, and this isn't just solely Eminem song. Like Billy Q walked out to Obie Trice featuring Eminem. So this isn't just a solo one. So Jay did his homework. So gotta give respect where it's due.
Will he add this to the list is the question. Does this count as over again being forced to? I mean, I think technically it was, but
maybe.
I don't know.
Well, let's see what the peeps have to say. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of reaction to Corey Sandhagen's knockout and where he might go.
Want to go to the card first, or we're just going to go straight to the peeps? What do you want to do, Mr. Heck?
We can go to the peeps. We can go to the peeps and we'll throw in some stuff in the in-between time.
All right.
I'm ready to talk about the knockout whenever it comes up. I'm ready. It's better if I talk about it.
Okay, sorry. I haven't looked at the YouTube comments in a bit.
Just how good is Chet Congo? That should be the first question.
Not how good is Aljamain Sterling. How good is Chet Congo?
Just how good is Vitaly Minnikov?
I was like,
Minnikov.
Where is he? Where is
Minnikov rules?
Minnikov,
where is he?
Well, I think, is he still in Bellator?
Yeah,
I think with the pandemic and 2019. All that kind
of
stuff,
of
kind of messed things up. With
he hasn't even fought in Russia. Doesn't he have? Is he not? I would think Bellator would let him, because Russia they've been holding all kinds of events there. M1, every Russian league is pretty much running shows normally. So I don't know. I thought he had a deal with Bellator where he could fight. for Russian promotions, but he hasn't.
That was, I believe that might have been. Was that a Bjorn Rebney deal?
Could have been.
Because I know he had visa issues back in like the mid to like 2013 and 2016 time. So he fought a bunch over in Fight Night Globals.
Right. Yeah. 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 I remember that. Yeah. Zach Tuivasa walking into my heart. That was amazing. Tuivasa, that's, he's also, he always walks out to a unconventional pop song. If I'm not
walked
mistaken.
Out to We Are the World. Someone walked out to We Are the World.
One. I don't know. The best. Sounds like a Genki Sudo thing to do, but, I was going to say, what do you guys think of the, sorry, we'll get to Tristan's question in a second. What did you guys think of the Biggie versus Biggie battle with Sanhagen and Edgar? That's pretty cool.
We all knew that was coming.
Well,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
I mean, did Sanhagen walk out to Give Me the Loot again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The third best Biggie song ever.
But it's
that's my favorite.
You think it's better than Kicking the Door?
No.
That's my favorite. I like
Kicking the Door. I think Kicking the Door is number one. I tweeted this at Megan Olivia when she asked me to rank. I gave her a top 10 if you want me to run through it. Danny Segura disagreed with me.
I also like Machine Gun Funk, though, as well, would also be in my top 3.
So number one, Kicking the Door. Number two, Who Shot Ya? Number three, Give Me the Loot. Number four, 10 Crack Commandments. Number five, Juicy. Number six, One More Chance. Number seven, What's Beef? Number eight, Can't Say On Air. And I will never say it in general, but Blank Bleed. Nine, sure. Going Back to Cali. 10, Hit
the I was going to say... It has to be on there.
See, my second favorite Biggie song ever is Everyday Struggle. It didn't even make your top 10.
It's a great song.
He has so many great songs. There's so many winners.
There's so many winners. But I think Kicking the Door, I think the final verse of Kicking the Door is one of the lyrical, Biggie at his best. Who Shot Ya is pure venom. And as I said, anyone who drops a Chaka Khan reference in a hip-hop song, automatic GOAT status. Three, he plays two different people. So gotta give respect. Four, it's great, okay. But I just think people who have never experienced that hardship in life like to use that to act hard. And number five, Juicy is just an OG classic.
Of course.
All right.
I could go on. I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Some news before we hit Tristan Gordat's question. Both Alexander Volkov and Alistair Overeem both being transported, so we will not hear from either of those gentlemen at the post-fight press conference. So there you go.
Listen, we have bonuses as well.
Oh, let's hear him.
I'm seeing bonuses. I see Volkov and Sanhagen. O'Day Osborne got the snub. He got that Villanueva. And Fight of the Night, Dariush Fajeda. So no complaints there. But yeah, unfortunately, someone had to be left out. So O'Day Osborne, 26-second one-punch knockout, is not receiving, at least as far as we know, one of the listed performance of the night bonuses.
Ooh. It was a nice knockout. I'll give it that. But man, Jerome Rivera... I love Dominic Cruz as a commentator because Dominic goes, yeah, that was just really lazy by Rivera.
Who is his manager?
Mike Dino? Both of those guys are Iridium guys.
All right. A lot of respect for Iridium as a management company. Obviously, you love working with them, but man, and look, I know you don't say no to the UFC when they come with a fight offer, but boy, this was a rough start for UFC career. Eh? He's fought two times in the last 17 days, three times since October, I think. Three different weight classes. God bless Rivera. He's a gamer. I hope because of all of his short notice stuff that they give him another opportunity. But man, 0-3 to start, 26-second knockout. I don't know. This might be. Casey, did you see that?
There's someone in your place.
Just a warning.
I just saw a small Asian lady run behind me.
Be careful. There's someone in there. I hope Rivera gets another chance or the opposite. Maybe it's better that he doesn't fight in the UFC again for now. Maybe go back to the regional, get his confidence and get his level of competition back to where it should be because, again, three different weight classes, 0-3. He's a flyweight. He was funny at 145 today. That's real time.
Like what Casey said about Mr. Rivera, who was quote lazy and got knocked out. I feel like the same thing with Vinicius. Who is the guy that Ike fought Vinicius? How do you say his last name?
Yeah,
Like that's the guy who threw the kick punch. That was like ridiculous. Yeah. So I feel like the UFC's like this. Is that really a spectacular knockout when that's who you're knocking out? So it's like the same thing. Super impressive knockouts, but the other knockouts were just against higher level competition.
Yeah, that's the issue, I think.
Casey, I know you put a lot of stock into level of competition when it comes to these things because, I mean, if we like, even when we're, it's like when we're compiling our KO subs of the year list, you could grab five random, crazy regional, international like moves, but the level of competition is so unpredictable. It's like, obviously, why is the reason why we favor UFC, Bellator, et cetera, right?
Yeah, now, I like that. How come no one
voted? Who's the guy that knocked out Ross Pearson with a Rolling Thunder? Like, no one voted for
him. Oh, the French guy.
Yeah, and I was like, that's – I felt like that was an oversight on a lot of sites.
Yeah, that one – Oh, yeah, exactly. It was against an ex-UFC guy. So, yeah, it's true. I don't know. I don't even think it made our – that year, did it make our
– I didn't see a single person in any
It was a vote. Someone voted for it. It made someone's list. Really? I don't think it made the top five. Someone did vote for it, though.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry for hijacking that. Go on.
No, no, it's fine.
So Rivera's fought four times in the last 6 months. Fought on the Contender Series in August. Yeah. I personally, he didn't get a contract. I personally thought he lost that fight to Luis Rodriguez. And then his UFC debut on like a week's notice. On like a week's notice, he has to fight freaking Tyson Nam.
He took this fight on 4 days' notice at 145 pounds.
It's crazy. He's only 25 years old.
I was at the Jerome Rivera fight. That's what I remember. I think he definitely lost that fight.
Right.
Yeah. It's Luis Rodriguez.
He's a talented kid.
He is. Jerome's talented kid. His last loss before that was that crazy fight against Brandon Royval with that like nasty injury he suffered 40 seconds into the fight. So, you know, maybe go to the regional scene, go back to LFA, get a couple more wins and come on back, because the guy's got talent.
I really hope his professional career isn't over at the age of 25. I would just I don't know him, but I'll be just bummed out for him. But he's not UFC level, and couple good wins, who knows. But
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
There was a question. We answered the question.
Here we go.
Is it still there?
No.
Tristan, I'm so sorry.
All right. What are the chances of Dana skipping over Sanhagen to have TJ face the winner of Jan versus Sterling? Dana may feel it's a better sell for a pay-per-view. Okay. So I made this point on Twitter that Corey Sanhagen should not have to fight anybody else. His next fight should be for the belt. Now, if the UFC decides to go the Dillashaw route, which I don't think they should, I think Dillashaw should have to get a win first. That's fine. You could do that. But Corey Sanhagen's next fight should be for the title, no matter when that is. That's my opinion. There's people out there who've said that. You know what? Just make Sanhagen fight Dillashaw and the winner gets the title shot. I could not disagree with that more. But I don't know. What do you guys think? AK, I'll start with you. Where do we go from here? I know we got on to the next one, but I mean, it's pretty obvious what we do with Sanhagen. There's like one of two options.
I'll answer Tristan's question since he's been waiting so long. There's a very good chance. The way it's phrased, Tristan, maybe you're still too optimistic and full of, you're not cynical yet, but there's a very high chance that Dana skips over Sanhagen. Of course. Like, if you had asked me what would San Diegan have to do to not be skipped in line, I would have said, score like a 30-second friggin' jump and knee knockout of Frankie Edgar. That's not going to happen. He did that, and I still think that Dana White is probably like, well, if TJ is available for that title, you know, to be the number one for that number one contender shot, and I can get him in there against the winner of one of those guys, I'm still going to go with TJ. The UFC is very stuck in its ways when it comes to booking its former champions and people that it views as marketable. They love Cody Garbrandt. They love TJ Dillashaw. They love, you know, there's someone who fought last night, Paige VanZant, for the longest time. They were very stuck on booking her in high-profile fights. And again, the merits of these decisions can be debated, certainly, but it is a fact that once the UFC sees something in a fighter as far as marketability goes, they are going to ride that as long as they can. And if they think that people will accept Dillashaw getting a title shot, then they're going to go with it. And again, I think there are people out there, maybe a little more casual fans, who recognize the name and will say, oh, cool, that guy's back. I loved watching TJ Dillashaw fight. Is he still the champion? Like, they probably don't even know about why. They might not even know about the EPO thing. So it's ridiculous. Obviously, he should not be fighting for the title. But the question specifically is about, will Dana see it that way? There's a chance that he'll put Dillashaw on there. High chance, I would say. I'd say there's a better chance Dillashaw gets a title shot than Sanhagen. There you go.
Jose, I don't like to assume things, but you're the kind of guy who likes to wait until things play out. So let's just say, if you're Corey Sanhagen, are you a gigantic Piotr Jan fan?
I don't know. That's an interesting question, because I think Aljamain would be a guy that would recognize, like, he strikes me as an individual who would recognize people who deserve to fight for the title because he was in that position for so long. So I wouldn't be surprised if Aljamain won and they ran that one, but I don't know. I have no idea. Aljamain Sterling has also wanted to fight Cody Garbrandt for a long time because they have serious beef, and Aljamain Sterling has insinuated some pretty awful things about Cody Garbrandt. So I don't know. I also want to see how the fight plays out, because remember when Brandon Moreno fought Figueiredo, we were supposed to have a winner and a loser, and that didn't happen. So for all we know, we could have a draw. We could have 2 6-month suspension. Sterling or Jan could get hurt. I don't know. I have no idea. Also, it's still, the pandemic is still happening. This fight has already been booked once and it fell through. So let's see these two men enter the octagon first before I start thinking about who fights who. But I do agree with you. Sanhagen should not fight anyone unless it's for a belt, interim, or undisputed or otherwise. I don't care.
Casey, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't think Sanhagen has the name value to the UFC to, I'm just going to wait for the title shot. I just don't think that's, I just think the UFC will be like, okay. That's just an unfortunate reality. I feel like, Sanhagen, man, but Sanhagen did everything he needed to do tonight. Like, okay.
He did what Aljamain did to him. Aljamain needed an impressive win, and he tapped him in one round. That's exactly what Corey Sanhagen just did today.
And he dropped the promo afterward. He did everything perfect.
But doesn't this, though, Casey, doesn't this show you the value of a Ben Askren? Because what is the difference, other than 27 seconds, excuse me, between what Jorge Masvidal did and what I don't even want to say his name because I'm so upset, Corey Sanhagen did to Frankie Edgar, right? Frankie Edgar is a much, I would say, a better fighter than Ben Askren. I don't know. I don't think that's a very controversial statement. And this is the knockout was incredible, but somehow this knockout is not going to obviously resonate the same with the Askren one did. And it goes to show you that when you have a guy like Askren who somehow is able to generate so much casual interest and really create this moment and really create a character that kind of helps to frame that knockout. That's now one of the greatest knockouts. It's been repeated a million times. It was in promos I was watching today for, for some UFC Fight Pass show or something. And so why can't Sanhagen be Masvidal? I know he doesn't have the history, doesn't have the same personality, but
just think about your emotions after the when Askren got flatlined,
right?
We were all like, oh my god, that's the craziest dog I've ever seen. We're gonna see the highlight reels forever. When we saw basically the same thing happen to Frankie Edgar, we were like, oh, I hope Frankie's okay.
Right, and that's
the problem.
Yeah, that's a valuable heel, right?
I think a lot of it has to do is Ben Askren was undefeated at the time too.
This too,
and yes. he had never lost. He flew to London to cut promos on the winner of Darren to call out the winner of Darren Till and Masvidal. Yeah. So I think it's a big combination of Ben Askren is a A+ level prize fighter. Like, he is a phenomenal prize fighter. Frankie is a better martial artist. But in terms of being a prize fighter, I would say Ben Askren is one of the five best prize fighters the UFC's had in the last 10 years in terms of who can drum up interest. The dude's fighting Jake Paul. Jake Paul is more famous than any other UFC fighter.
With the UFC's permission. With the UFC's permission, too. The UFC's letting this happen. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Like, Ben, like, Jake Paul is the one that brought up this fight to begin with. And then, Mike, you interviewed him, and Jake and Ben Askren was like, yeah, that was weird. I'll fight him for sure. So,
yeah,
it's like, I think it's just a big combination of Ben Askren talks a lot of shit. He was undefeated. Yes. And then he got decapitated. So it happens.
But
same thing happened with Chael Sonnen.
I sent us on this tangent to explain why, like, Corey Sandhagen should be the clear. There should be no doubt. They should be on ESPN right now. They should be talking about Corey Sandhagen. I'm talking about, man, this guy's got to be fighting for a UFC title soon. Like, they should have casual talking heads talking about Corey Sandhagen right now. But for a bunch of reasons.
Dana White didn't even show up. Was Dana White even there tonight?
I don't think so.
What's he got going on?
Right?
This is this is what you do, man. You promote fights. Be your dang fight to promote it, man. I'm here.
Eminem beat him up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't want to blame any one person for this. Like we said, there's a bunch of reasons why that Masvidal knockout became what it was when it happened, and why the Sandhagen knockout probably isn't, even after they spent time to package it and repackage it and show it again. It's never going to reach the level that Masvidal knockout did, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But yeah, it's kind of why this question is being asked. It's like, how does this not get you a title shot right away? And when you add in everything else Sandhagen has done, and again, there's a bunch of reasons for it, opponent level and marketing and all this stuff. So. It sucks, but we might not see him fight for that title until after a couple of people get a shot for first.
Real quick, I do disagree with you, Mr. Heck. I don't think Sandhagen should wait for the title. I think he should absolutely sign the contract and try to fight TJ Dillashaw. That is the only way he will fight for that title. He has to beat TJ Dillashaw.
Wow. And,
It's not fair, but
I just think that's how prize fighting works. And because, like, he knocks out Frankie Edgar, he can't get on the ground and go, like, bat the ground and go, ooh, and do the sleeping thing. It doesn't work. But if he knocks out TJ Dillashaw like that, Corey Sandhagen can do that whole thing because TJ's the bad guy. And Corey Sandhagen needs to beat up a bad guy. Frankie Edgar is never the bad guy. Frankie Edgar is just Frankie freaking Edgar.
Is the Rey Mysterio of the UFC.
Yeah, you don't beat him up. You know, you basically look like an asshole when you beat up Frankie Edgar. And so.
All right, let me ask this, because AK brought up a point. He's saying that Dillashaw is like this marketable guy, like he's very marketable. I don't agree with that. Like, TJ Dillashaw's greatness was, like, you know, the fight that there was the movement and, like, some of the performances he had, like, they were like, wow, this guy's really good. And then the Garbrandt feud, yeah, it was what it was. But I don't think he's, like, that marketable. Like, I mentioned this on the preview show. Like, what fight drums up more interest amongst the fans? Like, I know one would be, like, maybe a main event on a fight night card, and one would be maybe the co-main event or a main event of a pay-per-view. For what fight would be bigger for TJ Dillashaw in terms of, like, viewing audience and people actually caring? Would it be TJ fighting the winner, Piotr Jan or Aljamain Sterling, or would it be TJ Dillashaw fighting Uriah Faber?
Oh. I think the Faber fight would drum up more interest.
I don't even think that fight's gonna happen. I don't even think that fight is possible in 2021.
I 1,000,000% think it's possible. It's just a matter of getting TJ on board.
Yeah.
TJ's the wild card. He has to say yes. I'm convinced that they've offered TJ this fight already. And that's why we haven't heard anything. They want to make this fight happen.
I think that's the smartest fight for TJ to fight Faber.
100%
For his own, just as a fighter, not kind of prize fighting or anything, just as a fighter and having an opponent that's clearly not as good as you, but you are going to be 2 years out of the ring and, you know, off the EPO or whatever. So, Faber is one that makes sense, but I think the title fight is just more money.
What if Cruz wins and he wants to fight his hero? I wouldn't hate that either. Cruz is fighting Casey Kenney.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cause like, we're talking about big fights, like Cruz is a big name. A lot of people still consider him the greatest bantamweight ever.
If he beats Casey Kenney,
we still got this gentleman out there too.
I think Garbrandt's fighting Aldo.
Yeah. I'm just saying that, that might not that, might happen, but
I'm fine with that.
It's out there too.
I like Damon's suggestions too. Like give TJ Rob Font. I like that idea. I mean, it's not like the makes, sexiest
but
fight see, of
the
all
problem
time
is that but the problem is that makes sense.
Right.
And like we all say,
I just don't think he should be rewarded with a title fight. I don't care how like marketable 100%. He is. I don't think he's that marketable. Like this isn't 100%. Connor.
Sandy Pham agrees. No, Mike,
so
you're right.
TJ gets no yeah,
he's not. Ahead, it's weird. He's not like a proven like big pay per view, or I think even ratings drop. But the UFC certainly sees him that way and has pushed him that way. So I think they have that kind of faith in him. But no, I agree. It is a bit weird why he's kind of he and some other people are kind of pushed as like these huge right. draws. But I guess they're enough. By the way, people are asking a lot of people asking what happened to the press conference. We mentioned at the top of the show, Overeem is going to the hospital, Volkov is going to the hospital. No Dana White, so I don't think there is a press conference, right?
Yeah, I don't know if Sandhagen's already gone up and spoken to the media or not. So
yeah, it could just be over. Yeah,
yeah, it won't be here because we're not there.
Yeah, you know, we talked real quick about TJ again, but TJ is just so good at creating rivalries. Sandhagen just doesn't have a rival. Mm-hmm. TJ had a rivalry of Cejudo, rivalry of Faber, rivalry with Cruz, Garbrandt, all of them. He doesn't
he did a good job of that, for sure.
And Sandhagen is just really, really good. That's not how prize fighting in the UFC works, unfortunately.
He's too intelligent. He's too eloquent, Dillashaw's too. He does like the Michael Chandler callouts where it's like he's just a little too eloquent for like is the grammar is just too proper. It's like you gotta loosen it up a little bit. But he's a very well-spoken guy.
If he would have came out there after he knocked out Frankie and just said, "I'm not a fighter, I'm a feeling," never mind.
Oh, instant title shot. Instant title
he
shot.
He should have walked. He should have walked into the cage like that random woman did to Bretton Hart. Just out of nowhere. Just
we
cage.
Knew this was coming.
Who was that?
Yep.
Oh, I don't know. Find her name. I'll have to find it. I'll tell you in a second.
I think I found out who it was, but I don't remember. Okay. Yeah. We mentioned this and we talked about this in the preview show. After what we saw, AK, tonight from Alistair Overeem, do you think we see him again?
Yeah, I do. This was, like I said, we touched upon it in some of the shows we've done earlier. And while the narrative of this being sort of his last ride and sort of his, man, it's title or bust for me, I think is something he said to convince himself. So I sort of use his motivation. I can't imagine him wanting to end his career on a loss like this. It was that it definitely matters. You know, it was quite a visual. He gets clipped by a really powerful elbow, drops him onto his knees. You know, he's so out of it. He's on his knees. Not even flat in his back. He's on his knees. Thankfully, Jason Herzog, very alert. He's in there. He hears the shot. He sees the position Overeem's in. He's like, we definitely don't need to see anymore. So it was stopped there. So just based on even on just this one fight, yeah, I don't think Overeem wants to go like that. And again, he turns 41 in May. I know it's a bit old and he has a lot of mileage and MMA years. He's like 50, but again, in some other performances, he still looked really good. He looked off tonight. Look, he looked off tonight with all giving all the credit to Volkov. I cannot believe that this is like the good Overeem that we saw tonight. He looked off. So, I'm going to vote for no on this one. I don't think he retires.
I just noticed that your name reads Alec K. Lee.
Oh my gosh. Well,
there you go.
Yet another. On tonight of all nights, Casey. On tonight of all nights, another indignity.
Alec Kaylee is a Corey Sandhagen fan.
I mean, Jose, I don't think Overeem's done either. But I mean, what do you kind of do with him at this point?
I think Curtis Blaze beats Derek Lewis and then he fights Derek Lewis.
Yeah.
I think Curtis Blaze beats Derek Lewis. I'm pretty confident in that pick. And then I think Overeem Lewis, they're both coming off losses. At the present time, they're 4-5. I would imagine Overeem drops to 6. And if Derek Lewis loses, he'll probably drop to 5, which means Volkov will sit at 4. So then they'll be 5-6 rather than 4-5. So I think Derek Lewis versus Overeem, which could, again, would probably still headline a fight night.
Yeah. And there's the other option, Casey, you could go that route, which would make a lot of sense, especially if Curtis Blaydes wins. Or you could go like a different route where you kind of give him the Orlovsky sort of treatment where you put him up against these up and comers and, you know, and see what they do. When obviously a rub with a win over Overeem for a guy is massive, you know, give him guys like the Tanner Bozers of the world, you know, maybe I don't even want to say Alexander Romanov because that's just a terrifying fight for anybody in that division.
Yeah, you can go, Casey. That was a question for you.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Anyway, I'll answer. I think the issue.
For Overeem, no, I actually, it comes down to money. Overeem is he's a very expensive heavyweight. He doesn't fight for cheap. He's not a 50 and 50 fighter. Overeem is a prize fighter. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think he's retiring, but I do think there's a strong possibility this is his last fight in the UFC. Because after this, say if they give him the Arlovski treatment, I don't know if Overeem wants to take that pay cut. And I don't know if Overeem's okay with just being known as the gatekeeper. It's like, well, you got to beat me if you want to fight the elite guys. You know, and I just don't think Overeem wants to do that in the UFC. I don't think UFC wants to pay him for that. And I think we're going to see Overeem fight in different promotions overseas. That's why I feel. But, yeah.
Jose?
I think the problem with the Arlovski treatment, comparing it to Overeem, is Arlovski's not ranked. Overeem is still technically top 5, top 6 fighter. And everyone in that top 15, like, already lost to Ngannou, lost to Blades, lost to Jairzinho, hasn't fought Lewis, just lost to Volkov, hasn't lost Gain, lost to Gain, and then hasn't fought Shamil, beat Olenek, beat Harris, beat JDS, hasn't fought Ivanov, beat Pavlovich. I don't think he's fought Tabura, and there's not a lot of prospects in there, and there's not a lot of a lot of people are on the other side of 35. So I don't know if you can justify, like Kay said, giving him the Arlovski treatment for that payday. Also, I think Overeem is a huge star in Europe and specifically Asia. Like, he is a big, he's a big deal in America, obviously, in the Western Hemisphere, but he's a very big deal in Europe and Asia. UFC's not going to Europe or Asia during the pandemic, so they don't know if they need him, because I think they gave him that big payday because he could headline the Rotterdams, he could fight on the Beijing cards, he could fight in all of these markets where he is still a draw, and they don't have that right now. So I hope he stays in the UFC, because I still think the best heavyweights are in the UFC, and I would like to see him fight these. Like, I would love to see him fight Ciryl Gane. I would love for him to rematch Jairzinho when they both have full camps prepare for each other. But if he does decide to go to ONE or Ryzen, and he gets to fight in a ring again, or he gets to fight kickboxing again, just inject it into my body. Or if he wants to go the glory route and we finally get a third fight against Badr Hari, which I've been waiting for like 15 years, so be it. If they want him to fight Rico Verhoeven, so be it. Because that would be the biggest... Damn. It would be an awful day for Alistair.
Yeah,
it would
be an bad
awful day,
day
for Alistair. But how many people would watch Rico Verhoeven fight Alistair Overeem? So many people would watch that fight. And if they're prize fighters, that's the biggest fight, one of the biggest fights he could have. So, yeah, I don't know what's extra over him, but I don't think they can justify giving the Arlovski treatment sitting at like 6 or 7. Because, like, Tanner Bowes is not ranked, right? No. Like, Greg Hardy's not ranked. Maurice Green's not ranked. Like, all these, like, even Romanov isn't ranked. So, like, you want to give an unranked fighter the number 6 guy, and all of a sudden you lose, and number 6 guy's like, where do I go now? Nowhere. And then the unranked guy all of a sudden has an L. So it'd be rough.
Olenek, not like, that fights Overeem nothing would say but no. Unranked guys.
Right. Not that he would say no, because Overeem will fight anyone. Like, I think if he is going to fight an unranked guy, like if they rematch Ben Rothwell maybe, because that was such a goofy fight the first time and Rothwell's such a veteran, but I don't know.
Is Overeem?
Yes.
Is Overeem versus John Jones now a better possibility? Maybe John Jones wants, if he doesn't go straight to a title, like John Jones wants to kind of test his water at heavyweight.
Coming off a loss, I think Jones doesn't want anymore. But I just say,
I don't know if Jones ever going to fight again. Who knows, dude? I came until.
It's still up in the air. But we will see Overeem in Ryzen. That has to happen. Jose mentioned it. It has to happen. It's the intestine. Come on. I don't know if it'll happen this year. I don't know if it'll happen 3 or 4 years from now. It might happen when Overeem is 50. Honestly, we don't know if Ryzen is still around and kicking ass around that time.
If they're doing a light heavyweight tournament, they can just, and Bader wants to vacate that Bellator heavyweight championship, might need a new holder.
Oh, there we go.
And that could do a lot of cross promotions with Ryzen.
And Coker and Overeem have done business before, so yeah, who knows?
It's true.
Okay.
Marius Pujanowski versus Alistair Overeem. KSW.
Shout outs, by the way, to our pal Mark Ramundi for telling us that the young lady who stepped into the BKFC ring afterwards, the post fight run-in, was called a young lady named Jenny Savage. Jose, I sent
Jenny Savage
from a podcast featuring this classy woman who was sure to headline against Britton Hart at a future BKFC event. Also Casey, we have a misspelling of Phoenix under Jose's name. So
I would also like to say,
thank you, Mark.
No. Someone just messaged me on Instagram. Right. Someone by the Instagram at DMEY1, I believe, sent me Volkov's tattoo artist, and it is Max_Titanic. He's based in Moscow, and I can't see Volkov's work on this, but it looks exactly like it. It's uber impressive.
Yeah. I don't like tattoos at all, but that thing is pretty. Yeah.
Shout out to Max. I can't pronounce. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. It's super Russian. So shout out to Max Titanic.
Okay. I didn't want to talk about this. I didn't want to talk about this.
What do we got, Casey?
We got to bring it up.
We got a Manel Cape question.
Oh.
How did you guys score Pantoja Cape? Okay. I think the point of contention was the 30-27 scorecard, because the 29-28 seemed to make a lot of sense. There's a 30-27, and people kind of questioned that one. When I was asked that, I would say that 30-27 was not the most egregious scorecard I've ever seen, but I thought 29-28 was pretty fair.
The right guy won. That's all that matters.
Yeah. The right guy won. That's all the right matters. Guy won.
Yeah.
I would have given
it. It's not like if you lose a round, you lose a paycheck.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I assume we want to use this as a
imagine that. Imagine a world where the more rounds you win, the more money you get.
Don't give them any ideas. That's great. Don't give them any ideas.
People would just grind out cutting measures all day.
If you lose
open
a split,
scoring and money rounds.
If you lose a split, half your win money. Boom, gone. It's like half. You only won 2/3 of the fight. How can we give you your full pay?
Can you imagine Chael Sonnen versus Anderson Silva, and Chael's like, "Hey, I'm up. I should get 4/5 of the belt. 80%,
right? As you get 80% at least.
Four and a half rounds worth of pay.
All right, let's talk about this fight.
Well, you don't want to talk about you want to talk about his performance, right, Casey?
Yeah,
we were all very high on Cape coming in. I think a lot of us picked Pantoja to win. I thought it would be, though, Pantoja catches him with submission. Yeah, I thought it was Pantoja either takes him down or jumps the ghillie at some point, catches him with his, Pantoja is such a deadly finisher. I wouldn't have thought it would have been a 3-round striking battle that Pantoja would have won. But he had the right game plan. He's always aggressive, but he didn't change that against a guy with really, really big knockout power at 125 pounds. Went right at him, was much more active. The commentary, I think, was on point today. Cormier mentioned over and over again, they just weren't seeing a lot from Cape. It was great movement. You saw a lot of the glimpses of why we're so high on him. For anyone who has not seen him fight in Ryzen before, a lot of charisma. And he had his moments. He was landing. It wasn't landing as consistently, right? And that's going to cost you in a UFC fight, unfortunately. So that big knockout never came, and he kind of paid for it. So I don't know. I mentioned this. I think he was too calm. He was asked earlier in the week, like, "Oh, are you worried at all about UFC debut?" And he's like, "No, I fought at Saitama Super Arena. I fought in front of 40,000 people. I'm not nervous at all." And I'm like, he did look really calm, but I think that was like, I think he looked like he also lacked urgency. And I think that was maybe the issue here.
Well, let's also remember that Pantoja has been preparing for Manel Cape for like a long ass time, probably like 9 or 10 months. You know what I mean? And what stuck out to me in that fight was Manel Cape is so good at setting traps, especially on the feet. He's so good at it. He's so good at throwing feints and making you fall for him. Like, he's so convincing. And that's what gets people in trouble. Pantoja didn't fall for anything. And that's why Cape was kind of thrown off, because normally when he fights these guys, even like the Kaias Kura fight, like, he sets these traps and guys fall right into it. And then he lands those ferocious combinations and strikes. He's such a powerful striker. He lands it and puts these guys away. But Pantoja was just like, "I ain't falling for any of this shit." And that's what happened. Pantoja just looked good. He was able to just use the volume and get it done. I thought the fight was closer than a lot of people thought it was. Cause I thought Pantoja was landing. No doubt about it. He was landing. But he was missing a lot too, but getting credit for some strikes in the commentary. And I thought Cape was landing, like, especially like the second half of the fight, I thought Cape was landing the definitely the more effective shots. So that's why I thought it was closer. I still scored it for Pantoja, but kudos to him for his patience and sticking in there, because Pantoja likes to get into these wars. Like, He was a patient guy. He was picked his shots. He was throwing a lot of volume, but he wasn't getting into firefights. And that's what gets Pantoja into trouble. He didn't do that here. It was definitely a different sort of approach, even though he stayed on the feet. So I was super impressed with his approach to the fight, especially against a guy like Manel Cape. What did you think, Casey? I know you're so high on Manel, and you know, I think we all are.
I was high on. Okay, first of all, I'm super high on Pantoja too. Everyone's like thinking, oh, you think Pantoja sucks? Like, no, I just think Manel Cape is that good. But I don't think Manel Cape is like Habib or something. Like, and, you know, he's just gonna. You know what I mean? Like, I just think he's an elite 125er. I don't know if Cape can beat Figueiredo. I don't know if Cape can beat Moreno. But I do know that he belongs in that conversation. That is all. Unfortunately for this fight, I think the commentary just nailed it. I did think Cape was actually, I think he's the better fighter, but he lost the fight. That's all that happened. And like right now, Manel Cape is in his hotel room with an L, and he has probably no bruises on his body. He's like, was I even in a fight? I fought 15 minutes in the UFC and I'm fine, you know? And I just think, unfortunately he was too relaxed. And like you said, Pantoja, I think when the matchmakers put this fight down, they're like, oh, Pantoja comes and bangs. Cape's going to come and bang. It's going to be a super exciting fight. And unfortunately for maybe some of the fans and for Manel Cape fans, Pantoja fought strategically and boring. And that's how he won the fight. And I think this is just a learning lesson for Cape. And I don't really take too much out of this because I knew both these guys were super good. And I just thought this would be more of a big kind of coming out party for Cape, which it wasn't. But so was when Eddie Alvarez first came to the UFC. He lost his first fight too. So, sucks for Cape. Congratulations, Pantoja.
So did Gamrot, and I was super high on Gamrot.
Yeah, you know, so.
That's true.
That's all. It wasn't the fight I was hoping
to
see.
None of them were bad fights.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad fight. Gamrot, I was just expecting so much.
Gamrot, Eddie, and Cap all lost. Yeah. I also Cap has lost, or Cape, however you pronounce the last name. Like, most of his losses have been decisions, right? And he's never won a decision. I don't know. Where would you put, so Manel was obviously unranked coming in. Where would you rank him now? As he's clearly top 15.
Where was Pantoja ranked?
I pulled up the.
Where's Pantoja ranked?
Four or five.
I think it's four or five.
I think you put Cape at six.
I would put him nine, right under Matt Schnell. Matt Schnell's coming off a really impressive win over Tyson Nam. And then everyone above him has had really high level fights like recently. Put him nine.
Wherever Pantoja is, I put Cape. Oh, sorry, go on.
Brandon Royval is number six. Kaikar France is number seven. And then Rogerio Bontorin and Matt Schnell are tied for eight.
So I'd probably put Cap right at nine. 0-1 the UFC.
He's 0-1 the UFC.
Right, but the other ones are 3-1. Like, Rogerio's 3-1 in the UFC.
Yeah, but Cape fought tougher fights outside the UFC than these guys have fought in the UFC. So, I definitely put Cape.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, I mean, he's 0-1 in the UFC, and that's going to matter.
These are UFC rankings, not MMA rankings.
Yeah, so we bumped Tyson Nam out of the top 15.
I do not respect or even, what's the word? UFC rankings mean nothing to me. They mean nothing to me.
The question was about the UFC rankings. It's like asking what your favorite jelly bean is, and you're like, I like Starburst. Shut up. I'm like, okay, I asked about jelly beans.
I have to go back in time a bit, but when Eddie Alvarez lost to Cerrone, was he still unranked after that?
Do they have rankings then?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what they did. I think it's the whole idea that for some reason your past doesn't matter when you come into the UFC. I don't know. I think rankings are stupid anyway. Until we get our own MMA fighting rankings, which I need to talk to Alex Kaley about off air.
Yeah,
We'll get on that. Well, you know, it's funny you mention you say Alex Kaley and rankings in the same sentence, because as Mike knows, I keep my own super secret rankings. So Jose, when you said nine, you're not counting. You're doing the UFC. Right? You don't count the champion, right? The champion's not on the list.
I was talking about the number that goes next to the name. Yoji Horiguchi would probably, Demetrius Johnson's still the number one flyweight in the world to me. I'm just talking about the name on the UFC broadcast.
Yeah, and you put like champions not on the list, right? You're talking about like the number one contenders one, and then
So okay. Moreno would be one.
If you're going by that, you are spot on, sir, by my list, because yes, I have the names I have in the top eight would be Benavidez, Moreno, Alex Perez, Askarov, Pantoja, Royval, Kaikar, France. And and then Schnell, and then he'd be behind Schnell. So we rarely agree on things, Jose, but that's like really exactly I think where I would put Cape right now.
Wherever Pantoja is, Cape is one spot behind him.
Oh, he's not a friend in Royal. I'll stop that. Stop that. You heard me.
Oh, mute.
Oh no.
Okay, that just made me mean.
This is a Trumpian estate where whoever disagrees with the mute man gets muted.
Oh man, I forgot about his power.
What do we think next for Pantoja though? Is he
Perez?
Yeah.
The winner of Askarov and Benavidez, maybe? I don't know.
Or the loser. Yeah, it's fine. Man, either of those work.
I honestly think I brought this up to Matt Snell. When after his win and before it, like if that draw between Moreno and Figueroa is actually beneficial, because now the rest of the division can kind of figure out who's next. Because after Moreno, if Cape hadn't won, if Cape was probably number next in line, if he had won, but like there was no one at the time who was a clear cut number one after Moreno. So I think this is it's beneficial that it was a draw.
Cape versus Sue Majeri or Kai Car.
I think
Majeri's, but Sue's moving up to 35, right?
I like the Kai Car France. I like that actually.
He has a fight.
Yeah.
Oh, he does?
Kai has a fight.
Yeah. Oh, Kai's fighting.
About Tim Elliott? I don't think Tim Elliott has a fight.
But honestly, listen, I would love the idea of giving.
True.
I want Cape to get to show off. And I would love Tim Elliott with
Matt Snell. Matt Snell, if he's number 9 and Matt's number 8, and they're both coming like...
I like that.
That's a good fight.
The problem is Matt Snell's coming off a big win, so if they maybe Tyson Nam is a fun fight too. Cape versus Nam is also a scrap.
But I want someone who would just whoop. You know what I mean? And that's tough because flyweight is pretty thin, so all the flyweights they have are like most of them are actually really good. So there is no quote-unquote like jobber at 125, unfortunately. But I kind of want
to... What if he goes out there and just destroys Tim Elliott?
Maybe, but at the same time, Tim Elliott...
Demetrius Johnson couldn't do it in 5 rounds. I just did it in 2 minutes or something like
that. Tim Elliott could take his ass down and just ride him for like 15 minutes. Like that really could happen.
Tim Elliott's also never in a boring fight.
This is true, but I don't care about boring or exciting. I just want to see Cape style on someone. I want to see him just smash someone so that people can understand why there is that excitement. And again, I know it sounds like, how good is this guy if I need to cherry pick opponents for him? But I'm saying, look, some of our greatest fighters built their reputation on competition that most people don't even remember now. So there's no shame in a little like showcase booking. Again, I don't know if they can do that for Cape without bringing someone new in, because most of the 125ers are really good from 1 to like 25. But I'm a sneaky businessman. I just want to see a can just thrown at him.
Didn't they just bring who did they just bring back?
Bring from back?
Well, we
Mateus Nicolau. Did they just bring back Nicolau?
Oh, that's a yes. He is resigned.
Who's he fighting?
He was supposed to be fighting Ulanbekov.
I like that fight too.
But then it got canceled because Ulanbekov, there's a reason it got canceled, but I don't remember. There's an opponent change up there.
And then you get guys like Jimmy Flick on the come up. I mean, there's lots of good stuff. Al Max suggested Minel Cave versus Brandon Royval. I like that fight. That'd be a blast. Those two that would just be a war. But Cape probably wants to stay as active as possible since he missed a lot of time. So, and Royval just had shoulder surgery, or he's about to have shoulder surgery, and he's not going to be. Like that, I'm hearing like September, October would be the earliest he could come back and fight.
And I will say,
he's like a super healer.
Especially the first round, Cape did look uncomfortable in the octagon. He just didn't look like he knew where the sides were. Because he's fought in a ring his entire career, so fighting in the octagon, I'm not gonna say octagon jitters because clearly he didn't have jitters, but he was clearly like, where the hell am I? This is weird.
It was a little one. It was a little one too. It's a small octagon. Yeah. So he must have been like feeling claustrophobic compared to a ring in a Saitama arena.
Yeah.
It must have been so strange. Like
his last 6 or 7 fights have been in front of in Saitama arena, in front of 40,000 people.
No fans. Yeah.
No, yeah.
So strange.
I'm not too worried.
It was like fighting a thimble for Misha Tate.
Pretty much.
Can Carol Hosa be a threat in the women's bantamweight division going 3-0 in the UFC? So I don't like to pat myself on the back too much on these shows, but I think I nailed that fight on the Q&A about as eloquently as I possibly could. I mean, the fight went exactly the way I said it was going to go. Edwards is going to, unless if she just fights her fight and takes her down, she'll win. And Edwards made her pay for it. That was a nasty gash. And Edwards has a bright future, no doubt about that. But man, she has to address this defensive wrestling and getting off her back stuff like very quickly. She did have a great transition in the first round, which led to the damage and it kind of threw Hosa off. But then, you know, whatever was said to her in the corner obviously worked. They were just like, cut the crap, Carol. Do what you do, take her down and beat her up. And that's what she did. So Edwards is a bright prospect. She's no doubt about it. But the question is about Carol Hosa and can she be a threat in the women's bantamweight division? What do you think, Jose? Do you look at her and say that, you know, this is a woman that could be, you know, top 10, maybe top 5, you know, in the next year, 18 months?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Nico Montano is, what, 15-14? She's 0-1. In the division, right? So yeah, Carol right. Hosa 100% could be a ranked bantamweight fighter. So yeah, for sure. I mean, Sarah McMahon's probably still in the top 10 and she's coming off a submission loss. Macy Chazen's still up there. Panic Kansas way up there. Like, yeah, 100% she could be ranked. Whether she fights for the title in 2021, I don't think so. But top 15, I think she gets one more win. It's a no brainer. She could be 15 now being 3-0. You're like, who's 14? If my memory is correct, Nico was number 15, which means like Sajar or Julia Vila is probably 13, 14 or somewhere in that rank. So,
yep, yeah, exactly.
Probably like she's supposed to fight Julia Vila, what, like 100 times?
Something like that. This is the lady. Okay. Yeah. I was like,
so I think I think if we're talking about her next fight, she should take, how do you pronounce who Julia Vila's matched up with Cerenko, right? How do you pronounce
it? Cerenko.
Yeah. Julia. So there you go. Yeah. So Julia on Julia, winner fights.
Carol Hosa.
There you go.
Carol Hosa on a pole match. The winner gets there Carol. I like it.
Speaking of pro wrestling, if only Edwards had been able to get that Boston Crab in when she escaped the mount. Yes.
So yeah.
Either Boston Crab, maybe a Texas. Least maybe in a single leg crab something, but she clearly, I think she was a little bit indecisive there. She wasn't ready to go for that back submission, that spinal lock, and unfortunately that may have cost her the fight. But yeah, I think Hosa's easily in my top 15. So I had her at 17. Well, I guess we're not counting the champion, 16 in my rankings. So now she jumps over on my list: Avila, Sajara Eubanks, Panikianzad, Macy Jackson, and I think I would also put her above Lena Landsberg. So I think she's like my 11th rank. She's just outside the top 10 for me. 3-0. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm overranking her, but that's just at a glance. I think she's going up that list pretty fast.
Wow, I need to get an AK's ranking. She jumped up 6 spots against a short notice opponent.
She probably shouldn't have been that low. Well, I mean, maybe I had her too low when you think about it. I mean, should she have already been ranked above Julia Avila? Should she have already been ranked above Panikianzad? Maybe, right? Like maybe she jumped up. Maybe my rankings aren't, you know, she might have been too low. So she might have really only jumped up realistically 3 or 4 spots.
Yeah, I like Jose's idea. Yeah. I think that makes sense.
I don't see her as a fighting for the title, actually, within the next 4 or 5 years. But she's a quality bantamweight. She's UFC level for sure. And I wish she was a little more active on her feet. When she was throwing those really strong leg kicks, I liked it, but just not enough volume, honestly. But yeah, she looked good, and yeah, short nosed opponents, and yeah, it was a good fight.
It was fine.
Let's talk about the good fight win of the night.
Beneil Dariush won his 6th fight in a row, despite Jared Farrell giving CDF 29-28. Where does Beneil go in the lightweight division? He's ranked 13. This is like the dark horse lightweight championship fight between these two guys. And boy, did these two gentlemen deliver. What a fun fight that was. Dariush looked great. The takedowns were good. CDF turned it on in the third round. It was just a fun scrap, man. This is like a Jose Youngs kind of a fight. Just high level martial arts, just going down. for our eyeballs to see and behold. It was a great fight. What would you do next with Dariush Jose, and what did you make of his win over a really good fighter in Carlos Diego Ferreira?
It was just a tough fight. It was two guys that would have to dig deep and like pull out these tricks that they had in there. Cause like when you're that high level and you're basically fighting to stay relevant, you're going to do whatever it takes outside of cheating. So they pulled out every possible trick they could. And I just thought it was like you said, a high level martial arts scrap. So what's next for him? I don't like, it should be RDA probably, but they're friends. So they're probably not going to fight unless it's for the title. Mm-hmm. So I'd say Hooker, Felder, or Ferguson. I doubt it's Ferguson. So Hooker or Felder, probably somewhere right there. Iaquinta, one of those three. He deserves a top 10 guy. Hooker and Felder are very popular, especially Hooker's been in the headlines a lot, but Hooker's still stuck in Dubai right now. Felder said he's not retiring. So probably one of those three. Ferguson would be fun, but it's probably not going to happen.
I will say that I already know where I'm going with this, and I will reveal on to the next one. And I have a feeling I'm going to get a little heat for this pick, but we'll leave it at that. What did you think? What do you think, Casey? I mean, Beneil Dariush, great performance. And by the way, can I just say what a wonderful human being that guy is?
Yes.
Gets on the microphone, asks the question. What does he do? He puts over his opponent first. Said, by the way, Diego Fajeda should have been fighting a top five guy. I probably should have been fighting a top five guy too, but he should be fighting a top five guy. And then he takes the other time to put over his friend or teammate, which I don't remember the name, but from what I saw on Twitter,
Michael
friend
Perez, or teammate,
Michael Perez.
Michael Perez.
Michael Perez. Yes.
Do we look him up on Tapology or anything?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what his LFA, former LFA flyweight champion and a Cuban Olympian wrestler.
Yeah.
All right. So he's legit.
He's right, been in misfits, good dude. Yeah.
Okay. So, Casey, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, I loved what he said about, you know, when you put over Diego Ferreira, because this on our pre-fight show, we kind of talked about who has the biggest, who can have the potential highest stock rise and who can have the biggest, you know, fall. And I thought the loser of this fight, and I still feel that way, because Carlos Diego Ferreira is just, you know, one degree behind, you know, Dariush in this fight. It was an awesome fight. But I just these are two guys the UFC clearly don't want in featured fights, and especially fights that, you know, involve pay-per-views. I mean, they were like the first fight on the main card. There were five fights from the top. I mean, we had Clay Guida and Michael Johnson, two unranked lightweights, two fights above them. I just think that was ridiculous when these guys are just so talented. They deserve to be higher on the card. And yeah, it just, but no, Dariush is freaking awesome. But who should he fight next? I feel like he's going to fight someone behind him. It kind of sucks. That's just like, because Dariush just doesn't generate those clicks. Doesn't, you know? He just doesn't move the needle enough for the UFC for a guy like, say, that he should fight like a Tony Ferguson or something like that. Hooker makes the most sense though. I just don't see it.
Yeah, happening. Hooker's on a 2-fight losing streak. I don't think he can afford to say no at this point.
Yeah.
So, and Hooker and Felder already fought, and they're right there on the rankings.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking just rankings and what should be done, yeah, like Dariush versus Conor McGregor, that actually makes sense. But of course, that's never going to happen because that's not how the world works. But yeah, Dariush is going to fight some guy behind him, like Ali Kinta, or he'll have to fight the winner of Makhachev, Drew Dober, maybe something like that.
Casey, it's funny you mentioned the placement of the card. Like they were the lower placed lightweight fight, and they didn't even get, like, they were originally supposed to be the main card opener, which I also think is a good spot. Like they didn't even get that sweet kind of curtain jerker spot, which mm-hmm. can be a really good thing because it's when everyone tunes into the main card broadcast. I think it's when you have probably some of the most casual interest outside of the main event, and they lost that because the UFC is so insistent on having a 6-fight main card that when Askar and Cody Stamen was removed, they bumped up Rodriguez and Marquez. And then they made that the opener, which is kind of confusing. I would have rather they put that second and put Dariush and Fajeda first. So they even missed out on that opportunity. Like, we weren't even that priority. But at least they gave them the bonus. They did, for anyone just tuning in. They did get a fight of the night bonus, so that's good for Fajeda and Dariush. But yeah, very strange situation. And I had to read out one comment that I saw pass by from Noah Ewing, who says, you each, all of us, look like the person I would expect to run into in your towns. So Casey, you look like someone from Inglewood.
You're telling me Casey Lyon looks like someone from Inglewood?
Apparently, according to Noah Ewing. Jose, you look like someone from Phoenix. Mike Heck, of course, classic New Englander. And yes, I definitely look like someone from Markham, or the greater Toronto area. So
Toronto. It's Toronto.
Well, I'm in the greater Toronto area, so the GTA. So Noah Ewing, very accurate. Possibly a little stereotypical as well, but very accurate.
How would you, like if you look at AK's from Toronto, obviously a major city, okay?
Yes.
Jose in Phoenix, major city, lots of sports teams. Inglewood, up to no good. Like everyone, no one knows where Lenox, Massachusetts is. No one has any idea. How would you even know?
I think he meant more. I think he's lumping all of that New Englanders together, as I have as well. So that's why I agree with it, because you're right. Not I don't know what someone from Lenox looks like. Well, I don't know. I just assume we're all the same from Massachusetts. So thank you, Noah Ewing. Very insightful YouTube comment.
I think it wasn't until like way into middle school where I learned when the New England Patriots, I was like, where is New England? I have no idea where New England. I've looked at the map. I do not see New England. So someone finally explained to me. It's like, no, it's just.
You did the there's a New England?
Yeah,
there's
a New England?
You'd be sure surprised. When I moved to Arizona, everyone thought Rhode Island was part of New York. They would confuse it with Long Island.
Oh.
Staten Island. Island, right? Yeah, Rhode Island, Staten Island.
Don't you dare use Staten Island and Rhode Island in the same sentence unless you're saying Rhode Island is far superior to Staten Island. There's a reason the Staten Island Ferry is free to get to.
What are Brad Riddell and Gillespie? Are they fighting? Are they fighting?
No, I don't think so.
Gregor Gillespie is not booked.
Yeah. Is Brad Riddell booked?
That'd be a great spot. I hope they book that fight.
I'm really high on Brad Riddell. Like, I think he is legit, and he's a super well spoken individual. He's from he's obviously from the city kickboxing camp, and I am super high on Brad Riddell. But yeah, if Jeremiah K is like, yeah, they should fight, and then the winners, yeah, sure, I'm fine with all of that. But yeah, I don't mind Benil versus Kevin Lee.
I think. If you're going to fight anybody behind you, that's probably like the one guy you'd want to fight, right? He's probably the biggest name in that, like at that
point. Kevin Lee sits in front of him right now. So Iaquinta would be above him, who beat Kevin Lee. So maybe that one. But Phil has been calling for Iaquinta for a long time too.
Benil has to go up stuff. I agree.
Gillespie Riddell is apparently, guys, this is a very strong source. I found this on a SureDog forum post. Which is quoting an Instagram post, which itself is quoting an Instagram, supposedly quoting Gillespie's Instagram live that they are in the works for February 13th. So, I mean, essentially booked. Okay. So we apologize, for not being aware that
is true.
February 13th?
Very strong source. February, UFC 258 on, next week, right?
Big if true.
Jesus.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, by the way, we're adding this other fight.
Maybe that source isn't as strong as it looks.
You know, the fighter that's stuck in New Zealand right now is going to fight in like a week.
Yes.
Is this it for Michael Johnson? Bellator next, BKFC?
I like how BKFC has just become the third option.
Yeah, so prestigious.
They got money, man. They got money.
Go to WCW. I don't know.
Why would Bellator be interested in Michael Johnson?
Get fighters big wins over someone that people know.
Yeah,
he's experienced. He's talented. Look, so Jed Meshew and I.
This guy beat Dustin Poirier, and now he's fighting Patricky Pitbull.
and Tony Ferguson.
MMA math.
I was talking to Jed, and I was like. And in my predictions, I said, look, we all know the Michael Johnson story. Okay, he's a great fighter. And then he always finds a way to miss and do something, make some mistake in the final round. And I said, that will not happen against Clay Guida. I said, Clay Guida does not have the finishing power to make that happen. Michael Johnson will be fine. Sure enough, in the third round. and by the way, this is some serious backseat couch potato jiu-jitsu here. He was a little sloppy getting up near the end of the fight. And gives up his back to Clay Guida, and that pretty much sealed the deal. There was no recovering from that, and he goes on to lose the decision. And
No, dude, Michael
lost,
Johnson.
He might have lost anyway.
Michael Johnson v. Artem 2, Knuckle Mania 2.
Yes. Oh, there we go. I mean, that's why BKFC is the third, arguably second best option for a lot of these guys leaving the
winner fights leaving Jason the Knight.
Jason Knight is returning to MMA. Friday? Yeah, he's fighting Friday night for UFC Fight Pass for Icon Fighting Federation. Jason Knight is on that card. I think he's the main event.
I think the UFC got rid of him.
Some moves.
Yeah.
But Michael Johnson felt 19 and 17 in his career, 11 and 13 in the UFC, 9 and 11 at lightweight, 0 and 3 I think since he returned to lightweight, has not won at lightweight in almost 4 years since knocking out Dustin Poirier, September 2016. So, boy, it's a good question. I honestly don't know what to do. I still think he's talented. I still think he can be in there with like almost anyone in the UFC. But if he's not winning, he's not winning. So, yeah, some decisions definitely have to be made. I'll leave it to you guys. I don't know if I have a call on this one yet.
Yeah, 4 losses in a row. What's that? Like 9 of his last 12 he's lost? I mean.
Yeah.
And this loss felt a little different. This loss felt different because I felt like he was losing the striking, too, at the beginning.
He was. From Clay Guida. He was getting hit a lot.
Yeah, he was getting hit a lot.
I think he just got caught off. Like, Clay Guida just came out guns blazing. Like, yeah. I think he caught everyone off guard.
Well, Clay Guida. Wait,
how do you not?
He did the guys that go for the leg, come with the overhand. You know, that's how he was getting. And he got hit with that. I mean, it's kind of a classic move. But, but usually, you know, Michael Johnson's this kind of thing is like, oh, he looks really good. Look really good till he doesn't. And I felt this fight, he just actually didn't look good. Nothing really kind of stuck out. I mean, if it wasn't Michael Johnson in there, it was just some guy, I don't think we wouldn't even talking about his performance at all. The vets had a bad night. I mean, Clay one of them had to have a decent night, I guess, to fighting each other. But for the most part, the UFC vets didn't fare too well.
How about Clay Guida getting on the microphone and he says, "Give me an up and comer. Give me a prospect."
Yeah. The reverse Dariush. Yeah. I don't want to be in the top fight if someone in the top five.
And now he's going to have to fight like Sarukyan or somebody.
I was thinking
like
that.
He's going to fight Rafael Fiziev. Sure, I already called it on Twitter.
Oh, man.
You know, but that's a fight that Fiziev needs because you need that grindy guy like Clay Guida just always going for your ankles, always just pushing you into the cage.
I said, and it's a good fight. I said Guida should fight Fiziev. I will also accept Armin Sarukyan or the winner of Don Madge and Guram. Any of those guys I'm down for because those guys all bring it. And then if whoever doesn't fight Clay Guida, the others fight each other. Armin Sarukyan versus I think I'm super high on Guram because I was so high on Gamrot and Guram was so impressive that I think he beats Don Madge and then Armin versus Guram is an awesome scrap.
Give him Gamrot. Does Gamrot have a fight booked right now?
Not that I'm aware of. Gamrot would be a good scrap too, but he's coming off an L, so I didn't want to give Clay Guida. Like, he's coming off a win, snapping his win streak. Don't want to throw him in some against a super talented prospect that's not doesn't have a win in the UFC. But
what happened?
I wouldn't say no to the fight.
I have no idea.
Not medically clear. That's just the
official. Yeah, not medically. Yeah, we'll look into it. But I mean, look, he was also less than a week's notice, I think, right?
Public was because at least to the public,
I knew on Sunday that Askar was in. Askar was in.
Yeah, he replaced Andre Ewell, who had a positive COVID-19 test. So that we do know that came out. Askar, but anytime you take a fight on this short notice, there's like a lot of things. Like, I don't think it's anything serious. I just think it's there's stuff you have to pass in medicals, and after a weight cut, there's just maybe certain benchmarks he didn't hit. I would be surprised if it was something serious. I don't mean to downplay whatever the reason was. If it does turn out to be something worse than I'm suggesting here, but I think again, you take a fight on short notice, you cut a lot of weight. Sometimes when it comes time again, to do that last medical check, they're just like, you know, you're just not quite ready to do it. So I'm hoping and I'm thinking and I'm hoping it's something fairly innocuous.
And now we have Cody Stamann looking for an opponent. And I saw somebody suggest this on Twitter. I think Hione Barcelos needs a new opponent on February 27th.
I love that fight. I love
throw Stamen in that fight. That's an awesome fight.
I'm game. Yeah, I'm game for that.
Let's do it.
I was so actually looking forward to Andre Yule because he promised me he was gonna walk out to My Name Is Willie from Any Given Sunday, and I was so hyped for it. I didn't get to anyway.
Tristan Gordet, what about Guida versus Jordan Levitt? I don't like that fight. I'm not a fan. I don't like him. Yeah, slow roll, Jordan.
Guida would love it. That's what he wants right now.
Both of these individuals will fight anyone.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Give Levitt. I like the idea of just slow rolling Levitt. Like, give him some wins. I mean, he's still super young and green.
I don't know if you know, Clay Guida's 39.
Different weight classes between Guida and Elkins,
he's
right?
30, he's 39. Plus,
Guida's gone down to 45. They can meet
it. Yeah, but they also Elkins can come up. But they both train an alpha male. They're not going to fight each other.
Okay. It'd be fun though.
They fight every day.
Yeah,
guys, 39 years old. Do you see how he was moving in there before and after, during and after
the former Strikeforce champion Clay Guida?
Oh my gosh, it's the same as it was when we saw him. He has the same demeanor, the same routine. It's just amazing to watch. I don't know.
Leader.
And Clay Guida releasing a tremendous belch in the middle of that fight, too, a la Joanne Calderwood.
As you do.
Alex Kaylee versus Ariel Helwani. Winner becomes the new leader. Ariel Helwani.
Isn't he from New York? Isn't he from New York?
There's a rumor he's from Montreal.
Montreal.
Oh, that's not part of Canada either. So
yeah,
I'm kidding.
Oh wow,
I love my.
Oh my goodness.
Actually, there's a rumor he's from Buffalo now.
Oh gosh, that's even worse. No. Yeah, look, hey, Music 598, you put out the money. I guarantee me and Ariel will be totally down for it. Friend for sure. Bare knuckle. I think I prefer a bare knuckle over MMA. But Music 598.
Just don't play basketball. Just don't play basketball against him.
Is he really good?
He's very good.
He says he's really good. I believe it, but I believe him better than him.
I played some basketball for him about 5 or 6 years ago. He's
serious about it.
Ariel starts moving and like starts dribbling, like then his kind of his motions make sense. But like if you ever see Ariel just kind of go for a jog, you know, he's just like, it's Ariel, you know. But like with good ball in his hand, then like you get it.
He's good at basketball for a 30-something-year-old journalist.
Sure. I'd say the same for myself. Also, I'm terrible at one-on-one, so I would need my squad. I would need to bring Jose. I would need to, like, let me run point. He can run point for his team, and I'll run point for my team, and I think I can beat him.
Dude, I love setting up picks and crashing the boards. That's all. I don't need to shoot. I just want to.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Oh, that's exactly what we need.
I'm that guy. I want to guard their toughest guy. Whoever their best guy is, I want it on him. That's all I want.
You are signed. 4-year deal, he's player option. You are signed, my friend.
He's the Dennis, Dennis Rodman of the team. I love it.
Jose, you're a scorer probably, right? You're probably a scorer.
Yes.
Yeah, I need that. I need that too because I'm not a...
Fine, but if you really want to win, you have to get Farrah Hanoun on your team because...
Seriously?
She's the best basketball. She is the best basketball
player. Yo, I would sign. Hopefully, if I can sign. Yeah,
good at basketball. Like, I balled with her the first Fight Island, and she's just like, because you could tell she doesn't get a lot of conversation about like the NBA in Egypt. So she was talking, like, just bring up all of these, just like, because she's a big Suns fan. Because she's
we've talked about it before.
And I'm from Phoenix. Yeah. And she's just bringing up like the most random games. I'm like, and she was just like cross, fade away three. I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
I love
like,
that Farrah.
Why are you covering MMA meeting? Go be a professional basketball player.
She's like shoot from halfway, like Dan Marley. That's all it.
Oh, good.
Dan
Marley.
Old school.
Dan Marley's restaurant right down the street from me.
No way. That's awesome.
Thunder Dan.
Yeah. Except the font, if anyone is like really big into fonts, it's not the best. So if you see it from a far away, you would think it's called McGurgles, not Marley's. Because he spells it like a psychopath.
Okay, this is this was an answer.
How long have we been going for?
Too long, but we're going still.
All right, fair enough.
There was no press conference, I don't think, right? So we kind of, I saw that. Yeah, Terrence, I don't think it was a fart. Casey, what? Was it you?
Wait, why are you asking me? Casey, you're the expert.
Someone put a screenshot in my feed of all these like responses. Was it during the Edwards Hossa fight?
I don't know what fight it was. Yeah, but there was a.
I've been watching fights on mute lately, so I have no idea.
There was a very loud noise on the broadcast. I would have said sounding more like something like Velcro, almost like a loud, almost a Velcro-y noise. But I could see how you could interpret it as perhaps someone, passing gas, as it were, on air. That seemed to be the popular theory.
Yeah. So if you're on Twitter, my entire feed was like, "Fart? Who farted? That was DC. DC farted. Oh, DC let one go." So
yeah.
So the answer is DC. That is the official answer. Yeah. Daniel Cormier farts.
Aw.
My credentials get revoked. How dare you?
It's gone.
Dude, someone said in the comments, and I hadn't even thought of it, completely unrelated to farts, Overeem versus Fedor for Fedor's retirement fight.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yes, finally.
Fedor, I'm speaking to you. I know you said your fight against Rampage was the last time you'd fight in Japan. That has to change. You got to fight Overeem in Japan, in Saitama. Sorry, pal. It has to be done.
By the way, you know how I know it wasn't DC? He would have joked about it if it was. I think he would have joked about it. He's very, one, not afraid to make fun of himself. And two, when stuff happens on the broadcast, he, reacts to everything. So I think if it was him, he would have said it. So I don't think it was DC. No, I don't.
Everybody,
think,
yeah, it's everybody blaming DC. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
He would be very aware if it happened and that people were talking about it. He would address it. He would have addressed it during the show. I guarantee it. He loves talking about that stuff.
What did he do? Like take his headset off and sit on it? I don't know. Jeez, Louise.
No,
you've been inside the event. No, it's echoey, man.
There you go. True. True.
I didn't think we'd be talking about.
There are parts in the Apex when we got the tour where you can – it's like that weird thing where if you could be having a normal conversation across the room and someone could hear it all the way over there in a very specific spot. You know what I'm talking about? Like that weird – there's a lot of museums like that, Farting is a feeling.
Brad Wolfen, farting is a feeling. Oh, that might be the comment of the night. Comment of the night based on the promo of the last decade,
and that's I think how that's it, right? Ends. All right, guys. The entire staff is officially retired.
We had hour. I think we had almost 1,000 people watching. So I say this every time, but man, you guys watching are the friggin' best. But this is a very good fight night card. So I'm glad it sounds like a lot of people tuned in and not tuned into our show. Yeah, this is great. This is great. I love doing this. I love you guys who I'm doing the show with, and I love all the people watching. It's so much fun.
Just that whole comment, all of it, between the picture and just what it says and thinking of Bret Hart, all of that came together. Just amazing. God, that's phenomenal. Wow. I don't know. We have to leave it at that. So thank you very much for watching, all of you crazy people. Hope you guys enjoyed the festivities. AK and I are back tomorrow. Go subscribe on the podcast network for On to the Next One, which has become a very popular show on the podcast network, which we appreciate very much. And then we'll wrap things up with all the other shows and all that good stuff as we get you ready for UFC 258 next Saturday. Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns for the welterweight title is the main event. For AK, Jose, E. Casey Lydon, I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody.
Jesus Christ.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.